we live or die by this like tentpole summer blockbuster mentality. And a lot of these actors that really deserve and like really go out there and fight for their roles and like what in their performance level, they I wouldn't say they get overlooked as much as there's just like not a place for them because there's not enough like people that people aren't flocking to the theater to see these movies.
Hi, and welcome to Episode of Cinemation. I am Brandon Sparks.
And I'm Will Clayton.
And I'm Hunter Barcroft.
In the ATL.
Yeah, man.
And is it hot there? I assume it's hot there.
Honestly, it's starting to get better. The weather's starting to turn. I got my first cold of the year, so...
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, we're off to a good start.
Good times.
So far, so good, bro.
At least you didn't get food poisoning. That's the one good thing.
Yeah, like you at 4 a.m. this morning.
That's why we're here, guys. I got free time to do an episode. So, Will, what have you been up to? Have you been sick anytime soon? I mean, or is it just us?
It's probably been just you guys. I've actually been fairly healthy, though mentally I've been straining myself doing... To give you a little insight into personal life and improvement, I took the LSAT actually on the 24th of September, so that would have been yesterday from today. This is recording, but so basically that's why I haven't written anything in probably about a month and a half, 2 months, because all my weekends have been occupied with logic games and logical reasoning.
So what are you doing the LSAT for? You don't mind.
Well, that's mostly because I don't want to work at a bank anymore and would rather do something more involved that also has a better chance of making more money and be a little more enjoyable than pressing buttons on a computer all day to basically... Because what I do now is I essentially operate an ATM for people, and which is fine. It's great. But I've done banking for 2 years now, and I'd like to get out of that and do something else. So I figured give the old law school route a try.
If you have the choice, what do you want to do?
With the law degree?
Yeah.
I would love to study. The idea is con law right now. I really like constitutional law. Criminal law is fine. I would just prefer more government involved things. Just sort of fits my personality. A little more philosophical, I guess. I could be completely wrong as well. Again, I don't know yet. But
you never thought about entertainment law? Is that not a thing?
It is a thing. Yeah, it's a thing. Though for me, the most I'd want to do with entertainment would probably not be in law. It would be more in what you guys do, you know, creative. And that's why I enjoy writing. And that's why I enjoy breaking down film in both sort of from a psychological and philosophical perspective, I guess, on what's going on in the movie and do they do a good job at whatever it is they're attempting to do. Which is why I like talking and listening to you guys, people that actually work and do stuff within the industry, how things actually operate. I love behind-the-scenes stories and shop talk, and because I think you need both. I think you have too many folks these days that are willing to just sit at their computer and type up a blog and call themselves a reviewer. I'm guilty of that myself, but don't necessarily give movies credit for what they're actually doing. So, for example, like I read a review, and this is a tangent, but I read a review the other day of the new season of South Park, and I'm a huge South Park fan. Love South Park. I like where they're going with this season thus far. And the guy was basically complaining, said, I don't like the fact that they're bringing back the giant douche and turd sandwich thing they did earlier. I was like, why? It's a callback. It's intentional. They're talking about the U.S. election and basically that your options between Trump and Hillary are giant douche and turd sandwich. So... There's not been a more apt description of those two candidates I think I've seen in a while. So I didn't like that they brought that back. So what are you talking about? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, dude. I have an idea in honor of you taking the LSAT. Let's name our favorite law/court case movie. Let's go around. Favorite legal movie. You start, Will.
A Few Good Men.
It's a good one. Why A Few Good Men?
Sell
me on it.
Okay. So, have you heard this guy named Jack Nicholson?
I believe I have.
How about Tom Cruise? You heard this guy? He's not very well known.
Oh, Tom Cruise. Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Yeah, that's a loser. Tom
Yeah.
Cruise is a loser.
Yeah, if he made a couple movies like called like Mission Impossible and Days of Thunder, and yeah,
Days and of Thunder. I love that Days of Thunder is the one you brought up. Out of all the movies, Days of Thunder is the one you brought up. That's the interesting one.
And you know,
Cocktail. He did Cocktail.
Yeah,
yes, you know?
He's in Cocktail as well. He was also in. Oh gosh, what was it about the like the street youths that were in the gang that made us read that book in high school, Hunter?
The Outsiders?
The Outsiders. Yeah, he's in that too.
The Outsiders.
Yeah, so you know
he was in Legend. I mean, it was just...
Right. I really hope this guy finally makes it big one day. I mean, because I think he's really underrated. But yeah, so you got these two guys in it, right? So you have... Okay, so you've got Tom Cruise and you've got Jack Nicholson. And the reason I like the movie, not only is it well acted and well directed, but the story, I think, is really, really interesting. Again, it's dealing with... the inner sort of competition between the military branches, Navy and Marines, but also it asks some important questions about, you know, what is and what isn't acceptable behavior in quote unquote defending a nation. Also, I think it's one of Aaron Sorkin's best works of his early stuff, you know, pre West Wing and, you know, obviously before The Newsroom. And the dialogue's really good. And that final scene between, in the face-off in the courtroom between Nicholson and Tom Cruise is just fantastic. I mean, you can't ask for better acting in a court case or in a courtroom scene, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I really don't disagree at all.
Me? Is it me?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I love a lot of courtroom drama, so I'm going to have to go with my all-time favorite, and that's To Kill a Mockingbird. That's one I had this discussion today because that's one. It's a great performance by Gregory Peck, and by the kids and a young Robert Duvall, who's just a silent character, but is phenomenal in the bit part he has. And it's a beautiful script by Horton Foote, who is a great playwright, and he later wrote Tender Mercies and a couple other things. He won an Oscar for it, and I love the score by Elmer Bernstein. It's just a very like. That's this guy. I also did the play for this when I was in high school. So like that score, I heard that score a lot with the play, and it's just a beautiful score, and it adds so much to that movie. And when you watch that movie, I mean, the Gregory Peck's long speech in that movie is pretty much all one take, like it's all done in this one shot. That and it stays on for probably 10 minutes. There are a few cutaways, but it's all probably the same exact take. And it's just, it's a phenomenal, it's probably one of the greatest performances in a movie I've seen is by him in that film.
I need to rewatch the movie. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, and another thing too, like, that production design is phenomenal because people think like, oh, they shot this in Alabama. They shot that on the Universal lot in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I mean, the courthouse square where they have a number of scenes, that's the same courthouse from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to shoot that in Alabama. Are you kidding me?
But then if you watch like the, if you look at this the Macomb County courthouse, and you look at the Monroeville courthouse, it's the same exact courthouse. The production designers like did a basically exact replica of the courthouse and put it on a soundstage in Universal.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. That is really awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, Hunter, yours.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. A Time to Kill.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew you were going to say it.
Someone's a Matthew McConaughey fan.
Dude, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Hey, I didn't say it's bad.
Yeah, all right, man. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Everyone in that movie is amazing. Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
May I guess your favorite line?
Yeah, you can guess.
Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
Yep, that's my favorite line. That's my favorite line.
Good movie.
Dude, that movie is just good. Kiefer Sutherland, great as like a white supremacist redneck piece of shit. I mean, like just, dude, you can't get like honestly. It's like he just lived with one of those families for like a month, and then just like stayed in that character. That like it was, it's a good movie, man, and it's one of those things that like it's just timeless. It doesn't feel dated, even though it's very much set in, like, that time period. Like, it just, it stays with you.
And don't forget, Kevin Spacey, Southern accent pre, Frank Underwood.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're right. I completely forgot about that until just now. Dude, you're so right. Yeah, that movie, if you have like a rainy day and you're going to go buy a $5 DVD, I can guarantee you it'll be in the $5 bin at like Walmart. Best $5 you've ever spent in your life.
Yeah, it has a great cast. I mean,
it does, dude.
You're looking at Sandra Bullock, Samuel Jackson, Matthew McConaughey, Kevin Spacey, Kiefer Sutherland, Donald Sutherland.
That's right. Donald Sutherland's also in that movie.
Oliver Platt, who I love. I love his stuff. He's a great character actor. Ashley Judd's in it.
Wasn't Red Foreman, the guy who played Red Foreman in that movie? He played the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan?
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think it was, yeah.
Oh, Chris Cooper's in it, too. Chris Cooper's the cop.
That's right.
Yeah, dude. That cast Chris is Cooper.
That's a good cast.
Man. That you need to watch. If you've never seen it, guys.
Yeah, go watch it.
You know what to go find. It might be on Netflix. I think I saw it on there a while back, but man.
And Kiefer Sutherland's actually also in A Few Good Men.
That is true. He plays Lieutenant.
He's the Bible thumping.
Yeah, there are two things by my bedside, Lieutenant. The King James Bible and the Marine Corps Code of Conduct or something like that.
Yeah, because I've been watching the Aaron Sorkin Master
Captain Kendrick. That's right.
I've been watching the Aaron Sorkin Masterclass, and he brought up a scene from that movie, and it was the Kiefer Sutherland, and it was, that's also with the Aaron Sorkin Masterclass, where he's basically teaching you about screenwriting. It's a great thing. I suggest it to anyone. But he goes into A Few Good Men and The Newsroom and what else? American President. He talked about how American President, the first draft, was like 360 pages, and that became the first few episodes of The West Wing, basically. Is what he did.
Wow.
So since we're talking about, we're going to go off, we usually do, since we're talking about Matthew McConaughey and we talked about Tom Cruise, let's just get right into the topic for tonight, and that is basically modern day movie stars. I guess for you guys, who is a movie star or an actor that you will go out and see no matter what they're in? Because that's
Chris,
kind of...
Chris Pratt, bro.
Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt, yeah.
DiCaprio?
DiCaprio? Right.
I would also probably go out to see... I think we talked about this before a little bit, but I would go out and see Chris Pine in just about anything. Even though I'm not sure he's necessarily qualifies as a quote-unquote movie star, because not all of his pictures have made money, I still think Chris Pratt is interesting enough to go see just about everything he's in. And I think he's got the makings of a movie star that just for whatever reason, it just hasn't happened yet.
Little tie into old Chris Pine that I realized the other day. I forgot to mention this to Brandon. We were talking. I got to see the assembly cut of Cam Nichols. And in the assembly cut, and the TV's on in the background, and the song that he sings at the end of Wet Hot American Summer on Netflix is on the TV, and I died inside when I saw it. I was like, no, but it's totally Chris Pine belting out that song at the end of Wet Hot American Summer is in Brandon's movie.
It's not going to be in the movie. It's in the rough cut.
So, it was so funny. I died.
That's great.
That was a great little reference from our editor, Dan. He put it in, and we were all watching it together. And then it comes on, and Thomas just goes, "We can't get the rights to this. Like, there's no way." He's like, "Don't
thanks,
be attached
Thomas.
To this.
What a buzzkill!
It's not. Don't get attached to this."
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's like Jamie sitting there watching it on TV, and I'm like, "This is so meta. It's amazing."
That's exactly what happened. I think they even talked about like putting in a Camp Firewood shirt at one point, and we're just like, "We can't find a way to do it."
You know, I bought one of their crew T-shirts. It was on sale at some an exchange clothing store in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Someone had sold it for money, and it was there, and I bought it. I have it in the other room.
Oh my gosh,
dude, it's the greatest! It's the greatest. But yeah, Chris Pine.
Yeah, Chris Pine.
I agree with you on everything you just said, Will, about Chris Pine.
So the big question is out, and so those are the people you go out to see. Who are the actors and actresses that you think of that can carry, like, when you hear their name, they're like, that movie will make $100 million?
Tom Hanks,
okay.
Maybe Tom Cruise.
Maybe Tom Cruise? Yeah. Do you guys think that it's dwindled down over the past few years, because that's what I'm getting at with this
topic. Absolutely.
Because like I was telling, because nowadays it's very franchise heavy. We've talked about this on many, many episodes, but it's very franchise heavy. And this has been talked about for a number of years. I brought up a number of articles that I was looking at that talked about how like the end of the movie star era ended in like 2013. It's like there's not really that many people that name alone can draw an audience in. And the people we're naming are some of the few that are left. Because even some people, like people would say Will Smith. Like I had someone at USC say Will Smith's one of the only ones that can carry a movie. And I'm like, but when you look at Will Smith's track record the past few years, they haven't been like too great. Like Suicide Squad made a lot of money, but it's not because of Will Smith. I think it helped, but it's not the main reason. Concussion did okay. And Focus did okay business. It made money, but it did okay. It wasn't a $100 million movie in the US. So there's not many left, and it's becoming franchises. And I don't know. It's something that, like, you'd say, like, Matthew McConaughey, someone brought to me recently, like, you think Matthew McConaughey is his big star, but Free State of Jones didn't really make any money. It was a failure at the box office. So it's like, do you think audiences are... do you think they still want that, or do you think they're just more interested in franchises nowadays? What do you guys think?
I would agree, but the person that I think would defy some of this would be Ben Affleck. And I think, in a way, yeah, he's in the franchise stuff, but he's also making these movies like Live by Night, which I am super hyped about seeing.
Yeah, so am I.
And I'm interested to see how The Accountant, I keep seeing advertisements like everywhere I look for The Accountant. And I'm interested to see how that will translate across, because if they filmed that here, and it was a long time ago, like they were talking about The Accountant back when I was working on Selma, and I'm just interested to see why the wait. Mm-hmm. I guess
it's had a rather odd marketing campaign thus far. I think that film
it has. I would agree.
Like the first trailer for it premiered, to me, it almost looked like they were going to do like a Spectrum film. You know what I mean? Like what's the word I'm looking for here? You know, someone with mental illness as opposed to because it looks like an action film. And I was like, okay, what? I didn't know what they were doing at first.
And then it also doesn't come off as a comedy to some extent in certain scenes. Is that just me? Because like I know like Anna Kendrick's in it, and I feel like they play a little bit to some comedy moments in the trailers and everything. Am I crazy?
Yeah, John Lithgow's in it.
You have
some great comedic actors in this movie, but I do not think it will be very comedic. I will go out on the record and say it does not look like it will be very comedic. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how it'll turn out. John Bernthal's in this movie. I love John Bernthal. It'll be very interesting. I'll probably go see it opening weekend. But
and I'll go ahead and say they cannot make the next season of Daredevil or the next season for their spinoff for Punisher fast enough for Bernthal. I mean, that he needs that series like now. Or let me say this: I need that series right now.
I've thought about it regularly, about once a week since I finished Daredevil season 2. Put it that way. But I'm very, and he's one of those actors too that could be a lot bigger than he is, and he's been in some really big movies. He's Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Sicario. I mean, like he's been in a lot of big movies and he's done a hell of a job, but. You know, I feel like nowadays we live or die by this like tentpole summer blockbuster mentality, and a lot of these actors that really deserve and like really go out there and fight for their roles and like what in their performance level, I wouldn't say they get overlooked as much as there's just like not a place for them because there's not enough like people that people aren't flocking to the theater to see these movies like American Honey with Shia LaBeouf coming out.
Yeah.
That movie's going to get probably a limited release, I'd imagine. It would shock me if it went totally, like, wide release. But I feel like there's, you know, he's more than deserving. It looks like amazing performance just based off of what we've seen in a trailer. But, I mean...
Shia LaBeouf's got a new film?
Yeah, American Honey.
Huh.
Like, it looks phenomenal. I mean, I hear he's great in it. And I hear
I've heard nothing.
I've heard the actress in it is great. We'll send you the link. It's their first movie. I hear she's great in it as well.
Huh.
Yeah. It was at Cannes this past year, and won. I think the Grand Prix is what it won. Yeah, Prix de Jury. Yeah, it was at Cannes. It competed for the Palme d'Or, but it didn't win that.
Wow.
You know what? You know what I think, and goes to what we're saying right now. I think that these movie stars that are in blockbuster movies, like, Chris Evans, all these guys that are in all these Marvel movies, like, they made a lot of money, then they were in a big franchise, people know who they are. But at the end of the day, like, people who are going to have a long-lasting and, like, very prolific career are these people that are out there making these movies and, like, the more indie, not a super big tentpole superhero movie.
Yeah.
They're the actors that go out there and they give these great performances in every single movie that they're in, and they're in a lot of movies. And at the end, like, when you look at the years of their life that go by, you're like, man, they're in every movie that I love. And that's what gets them not only award notoriety, but also, you know, just a place in your memory and in your heart. Like,
right.
It's going to take that. It's not going to take these big movies. Like, sure, that'll make you a lot of money and that gets your name out there, but it doesn't make you instantly have this great, huge career.
I agree. Well, like another guy who just recently had a movie, and that's Tom Hanks with Sully. I mean, you're not seeing movies like Apollo 13 or Forrest Gump or all this stuff being made anymore. Like, used to. People, and they still do it, but it's not to the same extent. It's not the bread and butter of Hollywood that it used to be. Studios and production companies used to basically package a deal for, we need to make a Tom Hanks movie.
Right.
We need to make a Denzel Washington movie, or a Julia Roberts movie, or a Bruce Willis movie. Nowadays, you don't really see that. It's more like, hey, let's do this franchise movie and get this person in it. It's not like, and you'll see it occasionally, like you'll see it with Sully. Sully and even Magnificent Seven, to some extent, those movies aren't being made as much anymore. They're not really getting that mid-budget, high-budget movie that's geared towards the star as the main attraction. Like, you don't see it anymore.
Right.
Or you don't see it as much anymore. It's like, if you look at, say, Flight with Denzel Washington, that movie cost $35 million to make. That's it. And it made almost $100 million in the U.S.
He was, like, nominated for that film, wasn't he?
He was. But it's like, when you think of Flight was $35 million. And if you look at, say, let me see if I can find a movie. Like, that seems like an independent type movie. Like, 12 Years a Slave was $22 million and Flight was $35 million. Like, it was Steve McQueen's second movie or third movie when he did 12 Years a Slave. And it was Robert Zemeckis' like 18th movie. After doing Castaway, Back to the Future, Forrest Gump. It's like, they're not being geared towards that anymore. I mean, how much was Sully, I wonder?
Oh, it was a lot. I can guarantee you it was a lot of money.
It was a lot? Okay. Well,
I'm going to guess like 80.
Yeah, I would say that's a safe bet.
I'd say what I'm reading is production was $60 million.
That's not bad.
No.
But when it's all said and done,
oh yeah,
with marketing and everything, you're looking at probably closer to what?
120,
maybe. Which is what's made so much or so far at the box office. But one thing because I've said this to Hunter before and other people before, is with franchises nowadays, say Marvel for example, Avengers, not Guardians, because Chris Pratt's a whole different beast, I think, at some point. The main Marvel people, I feel like besides Robert Downey Jr. and maybe Scarlett Johansson, you could probably take the characters who are playing the main heroes, take them out and put someone else, and it probably wouldn't affect the assembly line of movies they're doing and box office.
Right.
I don't think it would. It's like, I mean, and you can say like, oh no, Chris Evans is a big star. I'm not denying that. But Marvel's already setting up Sebastian Stan or Anthony Mackie to be the next Captain America. They know the process. They get this person in it. After a few years, they put him out and get someone else. And if you don't believe me, I mean, Chris Hemsworth is a great actor, but if you look at his stuff, he's not getting many lead roles in movies like Robert Downey Jr. or Scarlett Johansson. They're kind of smaller. And in all honesty, most of them don't do as well as they probably should. Like,
yeah, in the Heart of the Sea? Yeah.
Yeah. Or,
prime example.
Or the one he did with the other one he did with the
Heart of the Sea just wasn't very good either, just in general.
What was the one that he did, the racing one?
Yeah.
With Daniel Brühl?
Rush. That was great.
Rush.
I love that movie, to be fair. Daniel Brühl, great in that movie too.
And
that
so
guy.
It made $26 million in the US. And it made for a movie like that, you would think it made more here than the overseas, but it made $63 million overseas. So it made $90 million. It made a profit because the budget was $38 million. But like, is that a movie star? He did a movie called Black Hat a year ago.
Man.
I didn't see it.
That was not very good at all.
Yeah, it made $8 million.
Not missing much.
So that was a Michael Mann film, wasn't it?
It was a Michael Mann film. It was not a great Michael Mann film.
Yeah,
I usually really like Michael Mann stuff.
So it's like, or like, if you look at The Huntsman, the last one, it made $48 million in the U.S. and that was with Chris Hemsworth, Emily Blunt, Jessica Chastain, and Charlize Theron on the cast.
That was a guilty pleasure movie for me.
Yeah, dude, don't talk bad about old Emily Blunt.
I love all these actors I named. I'm just saying that, I mean, I think you could honestly sub those actors out and put someone else in it, and Marvel would do just as well. Like, unless it's saying Robert Downey Jr. There's a reason why Robert Downey Jr.'s movies, as, say, Iron Man, make a lot of money. Like, Iron Man 3 is one of the highest-grossing solo films they've done. And I think the next Guardians movie will be major because of how big Chris Pratt is now.
It's a branding thing, dude. It's branding.
Yeah, I agree.
He has a brand. He sells it very well in everything that he does. And people will love it, and people will pay to see it. I mean, that's the same thing. I mean, you could say what you want. Tom Hanks, sure, it's like a brand, but it's built on, like, classic, great movies.
It's a different brand.
It's a whole different beast. Yeah, it's an old-school classic. Like, he's one of the old cats, like, out there still making these great movies. And you know no matter what, you're going to love the movie. With the exception of Cloud Atlas, and like whatever people say about Cloud Atlas, you know, it goes out the window. But I don't know, man. I just feel like there's something to be said for it because it's very rare nowadays, and it's just not like it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, and we're all like in our early 20s, and we're talking about how it used to be. But like Tom Hanks and Denzel, and Denzel with Magnificent Seven, even though people say Chris Pratt, but Denzel is the main focus of that marketing.
Chris Pratt's I would agree.
Secondary.
And even in the movie itself.
Yeah.
Denzel, and I just saw it last night, Denzel, by far, the lead. Like, there's not really a lead, per se, but he's, like, the main guy.
He's the main guy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's the guy calling the shots.
He's
and
the leader of the group.
He gives a great performance. That's a great, great Western film for a year where there's not really a lot of like great Western films out.
Yeah, I mean, the last good one I watched was maybe Slow West.
Oh, I love Slow West. Slow West is great.
That was
this,
fantastic.
This is just a great, like, if you could imagine Open Range but more fun.
So, but hey, are you saying you don't like Open Range?
No, I loved Open Range, okay. But I'm saying if you just make it a little bit lighter, but still just as like bloody and action packed and like just fun shoot 'em up movie. With a good story, like, not to be, like, giving a little review of Magnificent Seven, but there's a lot of story things and a lot of, like, things that they touch on in Magnificent Seven that are pretty pertinent, like, you know, pretty timely, relevant things that they're just talking about through the lens of happening to these characters way back in the day, and, like, it was a great movie. It may not be like this award contender movie, but it was fun. I had a good time at the theater. And if you go in with like middle of the road expectations, you're going to leave feeling pretty good.
All right.
I think Denzel Washington's actually still one of the main guys out there that can carry a movie. And I know people, to go off this Magnificent Seven thing, I know people might think he's not, but when you look at his...
I don't disagree.
When you look at his box office stuff, it's pretty... His last few movies have made, since... Let me see. Since 2010, his movies have made $75 million or more in the U.S.
Wow.
Except Magnificent Seven, not yet. The only one that made $75 million was Two Guns with Mark Wahlberg.
I watched that movie. I'll admit it.
Yeah. I'll admit it. It's not bad.
It's not. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
And then, like, you had Flight, which made close to $100 million. Safe House made $126 million.
Oh, dude, I love Safe House.
That was really good. And that was, like, right before Ryan Reynolds went off for
became a thing.
And then came back. No, it was at the tail end of when Ryan Reynolds was a...
Phase one of Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, this is phase one of Ryan Reynolds. This was at the tail end when he had a really big hit, but and he started to go down.
That's a shame.
And did, like, RIPD and stuff like that after Safe House. But no, like, Unstoppable with Chris Pine made over $80 million in the U.S. Book of Eli made $94 million. Flight made almost $100 million. Equalizer made over $100 million. Like, he can put out, like, a $100 million movie if he has a good story, because he has this charisma to him that makes him a movie star.
Dude, yeah, people are going to turn out to watch Denzel. Like, let's be honest. Yeah, people are going to people are gonna show up. He's going to put butts in seats at the theater.
It's true.
For good reason. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
I think an important movie that's coming up soon, I said this recently, and not many people understand what I'm talking about, which is no big deal. That happens a lot. A very important movie, I think, is Passengers.
Okay.
There's a reason why. There's a few reasons why. It is a big budget sci-fi movie with an original story. And it has two major movie stars in Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
Arguably the two biggest most popular
actors
of their time.
Yeah. Young, yeah.
Yes.
Of the new Hollywood.
And so you're looking at, it might have a great concept, but I think with that type of movie, it's banking more on the draw power of Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt.
Yeah, and you got the director from... Imitation Game.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I have high hopes.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that worked really hard on that movie. And for their sake, I hope it's just an amazing film.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's like doubling down on a tentpole.
Yeah.
With two people in it. Well, I guess three, theoretically. You have, what's his name? Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen is great.
I love Michael Sheen. You know what? Just for Michael Sheen's sake, two thumbs up for that movie.
Just for his sake. Well, then like Lawrence Fishburne, I think, is in it as well. Like, if
you know what?
I
did see him in the trailer for like a split second.
Yeah,
yeah. There's someone else. There's
Andy
someone
Garcia.
Else in that.
Andy
yeah.
Garcia.
And I heard rumors that Keanu Reeves has a role.
Where did you hear this at?
Man, I can neither confirm or deny that.
Well, originally, when I'm looking at the development, originally Keanu Reeves was supposed to be a part of it. This is like 07.
Okay, so that was an old rumor then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he was originally supposed to be Chris Pratt's character.
Yeah, okay. It was supposed to be Keanu Reeves and Reese Witherspoon is what I'm reading.
That's a pairing.
What an interesting cast that would have been.
And
yeah, there's
what Keanu Reeves are you going to get? Are you going to get Bill and Ted Keanu, or are you going to get... Neo Keanu for a science fiction flick with Reese Witherspoon.
Is this before he goes to sleep? I think he would be Neo Keanu Reeves. But then when he wakes up in the spaceship, I think he's just reverted back to Bill and Ted Keanu.
Or it could be the my new favorite Keanu, which is the John Wick Keanu.
Oh, dude, I saw the poster for John Wick 2. Looks pretty great, right? Looks pretty great. I'm pretty pumped about all John Wick 2. That and I saw the not to go off on a weird tangent, but I actually got excited at an M. Night Shyamalan trailer because I saw the trailer for Split.
Yeah.
Dude, that is the best cut trailer of all time, or that movie is going to be amazing. Dude, the last shot of James, what's his last name? James McAvoy, where he's like, he's gonna hurt you. You'd always hurt a lot of people before. That was amazing. I was like, oh, losing my mind in the theater. Dude, it looks so good. It looks it looks like everything you've ever wanted. Like M. Night Shyamalan returned to glory.
I'm probably gonna surprise you guys here where I don't hate on M. Night Shyamalan as much as other people do. that I think he's an interesting writer. Is both A, misunderstood, and B, has made some weird choices, admittedly. But I think he gets a little too much crap more than he probably actually deserves.
Yeah. Dude, but also he goes down for that last Airbender. Like,
well, yeah,
that's the one thing people will never forgive him for. Sure. But maybe they'll finally just stop talking about it.
I mean, The Village is not as awful as people make it out to be. Signs is actually very enjoyable and is a really interesting film.
No,
that movie was horrifying when I was a kid. Movie was horrifying.
He does fairy tales. That's basically what he writes. He writes fairy tales, and they're great.
The Village is not a bad movie at all. I think The Village, it's ruined if you know the twist ending, and it was marketed poorly. Like, but it was a beautiful shot because it was by Roger Deakins. Like, it's a pretty good, it's a pretty solid film. It has a phenomenal cast in it.
It does.
But it fell into the Shyamalan, like, it has to be, it was marketed as this horror movie. It's not really a horror movie. It has, like, kind of some horror elements, but it's not a horror movie. I think Shyamalan, the problem with him is, I always go back to it, he has the George Lucas effect, and that he's probably doing too many jobs on a movie. Is that Shyamalan might it's like having an actor who's not that good sometimes get with the right director.
Right.
Like, it might be he just needs to be a writer and get paired with a great director. I'm not saying he's not a great director. I'm saying he might be better when he's either writing it or just writing it or just directing it.
I think that's a valid argument.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know like Devil was like did fairly well. I didn't see it.
I didn't hate it. It was just kind of dumb.
Okay, like he did the story for it. I thought he did the screenplay, but he did the story for it. But no, it's like when you look at his stuff, I'm looking at his like page right now, and it's like director, producer, writer, actor, direct like, for every one of his movies basically. The only movie he's not a producer on that was big that he directed and wrote was Sixth Sense. Everything else has been a producer on. So he might have too much power.
It's possible.
But
with great power comes great responsibility.
And especially
Brandon,
when you hit it so big early with Sixth Sense.
Yeah. I mean, and you make interesting choices with Unbreakable, and then you do Signs, and then The Village. But then when you hit Lady in the Water, that's when it's like, what's going on?
Lady in the Water was weird.
Huh?
Lady in the Water was weird. It wasn't awful, but it was just an odd film.
And then you have one of Thomas's favorite movies, The Happening.
Seriously?
Oh, man, yeah.
See, he actually likes it. He really likes that movie?
Yeah, because he thinks it's M. Night Shyamalan. He thinks people took it too seriously. He thinks Shyamalan was trying to make an old, like, bad B-movie. Like, I think he thinks that's what Shyamalan was trying to do. So he stands by that movie a lot.
It's an interesting
idea. It's the bees are disappearing. So the lawnmowers and everything and the trees are going to kill us as the bees are disappearing. I'm going to tell you in my Boston accent why you get killed by crazy people in the house with a shotgun. That's that movie, dude.
What that was. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
I'm going to kill you with my Boston accent.
So anyway, but yes, he likes that movie. But no, going back to what I was saying about Passengers, I think it's a very important movie for the Hollywood system. Because when you look at the poster, when you look at the teaser poster for Passengers, it is just Lawrence and Pratt's face. When you are big enough to where your name is above the title, that's a big thing. Like, when you look at poster, like if you look at Flight, Flight's a poster of just Denzel Washington's face, and it goes, Denzel Washington, Flight. That's all you need to know about that movie. And honestly, with Passengers, they're doing the same type thing. I mean,
I think it'll work. I'm just gonna go on a limb.
No, I think it will too.
It's gonna be a hit.
But I think it's very important for industry.
She's been on posters by herself is basically the only thing before. I mean, just look at
Hunger
Games.
Oh yeah. But what I'm saying is, there's a difference there. Hunger Games is a franchise and it is based off a book. What sure. I'm saying about Passengers is very important is that it's an original story. What I'm told. It's an original screenplay.
From what I know, it's original. I don't know of anything it would be based on.
Yeah, so it's original, and it's a big-budget sci-fi film by a studio with two main actors. That's not something that happens that much nowadays. And like right. you said, two of the biggest actors of this time. So that has to do well in order to have an effect on the overall industry. Because when you look at stuff, because I recently, during our Summer of Disappointment podcast, I found an article about how, kind of going the same thing that we were talking about, Summer Disappointment, when it came to blockbuster stuff. But there are actually movies that made money that were more geared towards the stars and the concept that they were like involved in. Mm-hmm. So I know like with one thing I know that Will, you mentioned was Love and Friendship.
Right.
That made a good bit of money in its market with Kate Beckinsale in that role. Bad Moms made over $100 million in the US box office. No one saw that coming. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, did you think Bad Moms would do well, Hunter? Like, make $100 million?
Can't confirm. No, I did not.
Like, over $100 million. Like, I want you... Bad Moms made more than Huntsman with Chris Hemsworth, Jessica Chastain, Emily Blunt, and Charlize Theron.
I think the world is very overrun with high-budget, high-fantasy movies.
Yes.
So, not really all that surprised at that, but I don't know. It's a Game of Thrones effect, but at the same time, I never saw Bad Moms making that much money.
Mm-hmm. Or even Me Before You with Emilia Clarke. That made over $200 million worldwide. But we need movies like Passengers or these movies like Bad Moms, which I never thought I'd say that.
Dude, wait! Just wait! Just wait till Live by Night.
Oh yeah,
mark my words. Live by Night.
I'm excited for Live by Night.
It's coming for that number one spot, bro.
I think Live by because Ben Affleck's another guy who's had two phases in his career. One as an actor, and then one as a director actor, basically. And I think he's much better as a director and a director actor than he is when he's just an actor. Personally,
I agree. I think he makes a lot better choices than the people that usually direct him.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think, he's become a better actor because he started right. being a director. Because when you look, no matter what you think of these movies, I think he's one of the best Batmans we've seen. He's just been in a bad movie, and he needs to be in a good movie. I think he was great in Gone Girl, to me.
Yes.
I agree.
And so, like, he's been doing interesting things. But he just needs he's it's helped him after being a director, I feel.
I agree.
Even though I will not bring up Runner with Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake, because did anyone see that movie? Is that just
nope.
me?
Did
never
not see
saw it.
It was it's such a forgettable movie. But anyway.
Hey, it happens, dude. Sometimes you gotta have your Geely, you know?
Or you're a Daredevil.
Or Paycheck.
Hey, say what you want about Daredevil. I actually enjoyed that movie.
Or Paycheck.
It is what it is.
Why?
Paycheck.
So
okay.
who
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. He was in that, wasn't he?
He was.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so who do you guys think are some stars that movie stars that are kind of falling out of
Falling stars?
Falling stars, I guess you could say, yes.
You know, I would have said Vince Vaughn, but then I saw the Hacksaw Ridge trailer, and I'm like, nope, he's back.
Told
Vince
you.
Vaughn's back.
Is there a new trailer for that already? Where's that at?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. I saw it last night at Magnificent Seven, and oh, man, it looks amazing. You know what? And I would have said the same thing about Andrew Garfield, too, but Hacksaw Ridge... It's changing people's careers, man.
I'm just glad that Mel Gibson is back. Like that's what
Same.
I'm happy about.
Same. I feel like the world will be a better place having his voice back in the talk of things, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like back in the public sphere of Hollywood.
I agree.
I know like he's a very polarizing person,
yeah.
but at the end of the day,
man knows
film
how to
industry
make movies.
And the film industry is full of polarizing people.
Yes.
you know, you don't have to love the guy, but if he makes good movies, you got to respect that.
Right.
At the end of the day, there's been a lot of really terrible people make a lot of movies that you love. So, you know.
Yep.
You have to separate the art from the artist is the thing. Separate the art from the artist. Yeah, if you can. But no, I mean, Will, do you have anyone you'd say?
Of Falling Stars?
I'd say in the U.S., because internationally it's a very different process.
Honestly, I don't think Matt Damon has been a franchise holder of late. I don't think his numbers have necessarily fallen, but I've actually enjoyed Matt Damon better in smaller roles than in larger roles of the last probably like 5 years or so. Like his random appearance in Interstellar I thought was great, but it's not a Matt Damon picture, you know.
Okay.
You didn't like The Martian? What kind of crack are you smoking,
Martian
Will?
Was fine, but I wouldn't call that like a, oh my God, I'm going to see that movie just because Matt Damon's in it.
No, I saw that movie because the story was amazing.
Right.
And the cast around him was amazing.
Right. I mean, it's,
yeah.
It's the same reason I'm going to see Deepwater Horizon with Mark Wahlberg. Same exact thing.
So you kind of get my point then.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. I'm just giving you a hard time because I love The Martian.
Okay. I mean, I like it. It's a good movie. I mean, it's one of the better movies of last year.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think he's as big of a star as he used to be?
Yeah, I mean, so like to me, like peak Matt Damon was like in between Bourne 2 and then you had The Departed, and then you had I think my personal favorite Matt Damon movie, The Informant. That to me was like peak Matt Damon. Like I want to watch that movie just because Matt Damon was in it, and then I fell in love with that film after that.
Okay.
I think it'll be telling how the Great Wall does.
Yeah. I think
right.
So
when it's out.
Because I think Matt Damon, I mean, like with the Martian example, there's a great cast around him. But when you look at that poster, who is the face on that poster?
It's true.
And who is the name above that title?
Hashtag bring him home, Brandon.
And it made $228 million in the U.S. So, but granted, he's only in like 40% of that movie. He's not in as much as people think he is.
Yep.
What would you guys say about Will Smith?
I think Will Smith still does well enough. I think the Will Smith name still makes money.
Mm-hmm.
I think people will still go see a movie just because Will Smith's in it. Does anyone remember Legend of Bagger Vance?
I do.
What did you think of Legend of Bagger Vance?
I don't want to I mean, when I watched it when I was a young kid, oh, I loved it because Will Smith was in the movie.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what I feel about nowadays.
Because he hasn't really made any, like, Bagger Vance films of late. You know what I mean? Like, you haven't had one of those sort of, like, random... Because Bagger Vance felt pretty random to me.
Did it?
To me.
Uh-huh.
Like, why... Because Matt Damon's in that movie, too. I mean...
He is.
I think Concussion... You could say Concussion probably was. I would say Concussion. I think Collateral Beauty is going to be amazing.
Concussion to me felt like Will Smith trying to become a quote-unquote get his serious actor chops on again and try to win an Oscar. That's what I felt like that was. So that made sense to me why he did that one. But to me, Legend of Bagger Vance felt weird.
I loved his Anchorman 2 cameo where he played ESPN reporter. I thought that was amazing. He's going to be back doing another Bad Boys movie. So, you know, his franchise... He's still very much a franchise guy. He's in Suicide Squad, Bad Boys. I mean, his franchise is still around. I think Collateral Beauty is going to be great. There's another David Ayer movie called Bright with Will Smith and Joel
Netflix.
Egerton.
For really? Netflix. Netflix is doing it.
That could be interesting.
That's one
that
of the could biggest be interesting. That's one of the biggest budgeted Netflix movies coming out.
That's interesting.
So,
you know, I feel like he's still got a shot.
I think he's still got it, yeah.
And then, okay, so Tom Cruise. I'm going to go off the people that people see are as big stars.
Yeah, I still think Tom Cruise has it. Jack Reacher will tell, but I'm still going to go see it.
Sorry, I was looking at the thing about Will Smith, and this article popped up. About Sam Neill joining the cast of Thor Ragnarok, and my mind exploded. But, yeah, man, I don't know.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise. I feel like he's still in the game. He still makes quality movies. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean,
he
like,
does, yeah.
His movies are still good.
And if he keeps making, like, if he keeps making these really good Mission Impossible films, I mean, because the last couple he's made have been pretty awesome. I don't think Tom is going anywhere anytime soon.
I don't know how they're still making Jack Reacher movies unless people go see the Jack Reacher movies that I just don't know who they are.
I watched the first one.
I never saw it. Maybe it's just me then. Maybe it's just me. But I feel like there's only so many of, like, spy. You can only be in so many spy franchises. So, like,
but it's not really a spy movie.
He's not a spy. He's not a spy.
Okay. Then I just don't know anything about Jack Reacher, and I'll stop talking about Jack Reacher.
Hunter, Rosamund Pike's in it.
Yes.
David Oyelowo.
Okay, I'd see that.
David Oyelowo.
David Oyelowo's in that movie?
Yeah.
My boy David Oyelowo. I'll watch it.
Werner Herzog is in it. And then your man Jack Courtney is also in it.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, see, now I'm not going to see it because Jack Courtney's in it. Does he throw a boomerang at Jack Reacher?
No.
Missed opportunity.
Well, yeah, he's Werner Herzog's right-hand man.
Yes.
Who thought you'd ever say that? Jack Courtney is Werner Herzog's right-hand man.
Hell froze over and pigs are flying, Brandon. Man, yeah.
And then this is another one. I know he's been in the news a lot lately with personal issues. Well, there's two, actually. But this one, Johnny Depp.
No. Johnny Depp does not have it anymore.
No, I feel like he does, dude. Just when you count Johnny Depp out of the game, he comes flying back in.
What's the last big movie he made that was just him? Pirates?
What? Define big movie. Define big movie.
Yeah, but you know what? You can say the same thing for Bradley Cooper. So, I don't know.
Could you?
Yeah.
Did you get American Sniper?
No, I mean, I remember American Sniper, but what's he done since American Sniper?
He was in Joy?
Don't bring that in there.
I arrest my case, bro.
Yeah.
He was the voice in... Yeah, I guess you could say that, maybe.
Well, Joy, I mean, who's the person on the poster?
Right, it's Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. I'd say with Johnny Depp, you'd go with Black Mass was the last big one he did that I enjoyed.
Man. But even then, Black Mass to me was just sort of meh.
Tom Cruise has got The Mummy coming out, The Mummy reboot.
Yep. Yeah, he's got that.
Yeah, he does. Okay, so we talked about these somewhat might, or what about, she's in the news lately, Angelina Jolie. Dots on her. She doesn't know as much as she used to anymore.
I don't think she wants to act anymore.
I think she wants to direct.
I think so, too. I think that's her
She did By the Sea last year, which apparently did...
I never saw it. Never came
terrible.
Here.
Terrible.
Where did it go? Where did it play?
L.A. is where it played, but it played in only 142 theaters. It made only basically $500,000 at the box office.
Jesus.
And that's Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, which they're going through stuff right now. But no, she had Maleficent was in 2014. I thought that was a really good movie.
Really?
I liked Maleficent. Don't judge me.
I'm just judging the movie. She's gonna have to get back out there and act.
Yeah. Now that her and Brad are split, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's gonna force her back out into acting again.
Yeah.
Or she's just gonna go for it and she's gonna direct, even though. If I remember correctly, when the Sony hack happened, there were a bunch of emails about her wanting to direct Cleopatra.
Yeah.
And Sony just being like, no. No.
Why would you even want to remake Cleopatra in the first place? That's just me, but...
And Fincher was supposed to direct that, I thought, at one point. Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she was just, like, trying to gun for it, and Sony just kept stalling or something like that, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Johnny Depp's got The Invisible Man coming up.
He does.
Well, we'll see. I think the telltale thing for Johnny Depp will be how the new Pirates of the Caribbean holds up.
Going off the Invisible Man, that no one really talks about, that Universal is trying to do, is they're trying to do their own cinematic universe.
With their monsters.
With their monsters. So you have Tom Cruise in The Mummy, Johnny Depp in Invisible Man.
And what's his name from Dracula Untold would be in the same...
Luke Evans. Yeah.
You know what? Say what you want about... I actually did not hate that movie. It was not the greatest Dracula movie, but...
It's pretty boring.
It was not the worst. It could have been better, but it wasn't terrible.
Okay.
Just in my personal opinion.
Honestly, I like.
Where's their Wolfman movie?
I liked the campy Dracula that you got from Van Helsing better than I like Chris Evans in Dracula Untold.
Luke Evans.
Dude,
Luke Evans.
Van Helsing in general was just an amazing movie. Van Helsing will hold up, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Van Helsing holds up. The werewolf and Van Helsing, hulking badass. Why can't, like, I don't know. Did you see the Wolfman with
Yes.
What'd you think? Benicio del Toro, what'd you think?
I thought it was actually not too bad. I thought that Benicio was an interesting choice. I'm a huge Benicio del Toro fan. I really like his work. I just thought that they had a really confused story in that second half.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, they started off on a great foot, and then somewhere.
Yeah, the tone, the darkness of the first half was fantastic, and then it just kind of went nowhere.
Yep.
Got a great cast.
Yeah.
Dude, Benicio del Toro is one of those guys that, like, real big early on, like early 2000s, late 90s, and then, you know, didn't really do much for whatever reason, kind of hung around,
but man,
and then all
Sicario.
Of a sudden, boom, Sicario, boom. Guardians of the Galaxy, boom, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, or, the dude's then, coming back and he's hitting, he's like bringing the punches, man. He's Benicio's
the other
back,
random,
baby.
The random little role of his I also love too is in Sin City, where he plays the bad cop and then he's dead having the conversation in the car with Clive Owen. Oh, that's so good.
Where's Clive Owen these days? Is he still doing the Nick?
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is.
That
yeah,
show's
I
still
heard
going.
The Nick was really good. I heard the Nick was really good. Have not watched it, but
it's good.
Been meaning
Thomas
to.
Loves it. I know
it's very good. Right. I liked it.
I'll
a
just
lot.
Comment. I'll taste. Comment for Thomas every time he's not here. Now my last question: Who do you think are the next movie stars, like on the rise, that will be the ones that can carry the films that come out like that? Like when Hollywood now, because I've noticed when you watch movies and stuff, when you read a script, they go. Can this person play this role? Like, do you see a Jennifer Lawrence playing this role? Who's, like, that person they'll be
now,
looking
you,
for?
You might think I'm crazy.
Chris Pine.
Well, you already said Chris Pine. You might think I'm crazy. This probably is too much. I'm going to go ahead and say Jonah Hill.
Okay.
Did you see War Dogs?
I did. I did not like War Dogs.
To me, that's a Jonah Hill movie.
It is. He's the best part of that movie.
He is. And I think that Jonah Hill is neat, is one big vehicle away, whether it being semi-comedic or serious. I think he's one big, like, this is a Jonah Hill's movie away from being the next big thing. Could be. I could be totally crazy.
I do like Jonah Hill in that movie. It's just, I guess the story of it could have been a lot better.
Oh, yeah. Story's pretty weak, but...
And Jonah Hill's laugh in that movie is Hunter Barcroft's laugh all the time.
Dude, someone sent me a 10-hour version of that laugh in a text. And I got it at, like, 3 in the morning, and so I pull out my phone, like, what the hell? I press it, and then I'll just... I'm just, like... I was so mad.
I was sitting in the theater with Thomas watching that, and anytime Jonah Hill laughed, I just laughed even longer because I'm just hearing, if you close your eyes, I hear you when you're when you really love something. Because what you do is when you're on the phone, you might tell you something that's funny, there's a silence and there's...
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't disagree with the Jonah Hill pick. I feel like it doesn't count, but I have one that will count, one that does not count. One that doesn't count, Shia LaBeouf. That dude is not going away anytime soon.
Okay.
Like, he's here to stay. That guy, mark my words, Shia LaBeouf, next Tom Hanks in the making.
What?
Whoa.
Dude,
whoa.
He will be around until he is dead.
Uh-huh.
He will be in good movies until the guy is dead. That movie, like, the just in general, Shia LaBeouf will bring the heat in whatever he's doing.
Shia LaBeouf. Okay.
Shia LaBeouf. I'm saying it right now, dude. I'm going out on a limb. I'm being bold. I'm
okay.
Saying Shia LaBeouf.
I put out Jonah Hill. I mean, so what am I talking about?
I want to, and this will speak into what I will tell people to go watch at the end of the episode, but Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Very unique voice that is finally getting a little credit where it's due. And
he's great in Atlanta.
I can't wait to see where he goes. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great ride for him. The rumors of him being young Lando in Star Wars, one-off movies.
Mm-hmm.
Really hoping that's true, because that would be everything.
He's going to show up in young Han Solo.
That was the rumor.
That's the rumors. Huh. He's going to be in Spider-Man. So,
who's not going to be in Spider-Man Homecoming?
Fair point. Yeah.
But Hannibal Buress is in Spider-Man Homecoming. Okay.
But Donald Glover is one who has not been revealed of like who he is yet. So.
Yeah, dude. Half the cast of Silicon Valley is in Spider-Man Homecoming. So
I love Silicon Valley,
That movie is gonna be hilarious, dude. That show is truly great. That is that's one of the great comedies of television these days.
It is. It's perfect.
Yeah, watch out for John Watts, who's the director. He did Cop Car and Clown, which have been really big. I feel like the one I'm gonna say is already in that vein, but really not until next year. Even though she's just won an Oscar, and that's Brie Larson.
Sure.
She's big, but when you look at her slate of movies so far, she hasn't really done anything major. But next year she has Kong, Skull Island,
mm-hmm.
and then she's Captain Marvel. She's going to be one that I think, I know it's not just doing it because Ben Gertz loves her so much. It's because she's a phenomenal actress, and I think she will be able to one day, and I think we'll get there in like 2 years, will be able to carry a movie on her name alone.
I feel that way about John Boyega, so.
Oh, yeah. It's whatever. And my hope, too, is David Oyelowo. I love David Oyelowo. I think he is a phenomenal actor.
You know what makes me mad is I just found out about Queen of Katwe because I was standing in line at mm-hmm. Magnificent Seven. Have never heard of Queen of Katwe in my life and did not know why.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just going to Google search Queen of Katwe. Pull it up. David Oyelowo was in it. I watched the trailer. I'm like, Disney just did not put any money in this marketing of this film.
Yep.
And it is a shame because that movie, it looks amazing. It
looks pretty good.
It looks amazing. And Disney should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, Disney's been slacking off this year because, I mean, Light Between the Oceans with Fassbender and Vikander, they didn't promote it at all.
That was theirs?
That was a Disney movie?
That's a Disney movie.
Yeah,
that is the darkest Disney movie I've ever seen.
It's
dude.
Touchstone. It's Touchstone. Just to,
okay.
Okay.
But to be fair.
It's Touchstone. But no. It was Disney. It was Disney.
Wow.
Dude.
I lied.
That's just the sad reality of like someone owning the rights to something they didn't need to own the rights to.
Yeah. Well, what it was that I heard.
That could have been a great like Weinstein movie.
What I heard was that it was because it was the last film through DreamWorks. I'm sorry, it was released by Touchstone, but distributed by Disney, so it's a Touchstone movie. But it was the last DreamWorks movie under their contract with Disney, and so Disney...
So Disney just crapped on them, basically.
Basically. It's basically what happened.
That's really sad.
Because Disney, and they're into like making big, huge like money-making films. And what's so crazy is that they should have been doing what Universal did, and yeah, they make those Jurassic Worlds or Fast and the Furious movies, but then they release something like Straight Outta Compton. It's low budget, and they push it really well. Or Steve Jobs, you know, didn't make that much money. Those smaller movies, like Queen of Katwe, because it costs $15 million to make. If you promote that well enough, there's an audience there for that movie.
Sure.
And you have someone like David Oyelowo and Lupita Nyong'o.
Dude, Lupita's in it!
Yeah, she's
Lupita's in it, dude! Yeah. That's a great cast!
Yeah. And then, Mira Nair, who I think that's how you pronounce her name. She did Munson Wedding, The Namesake, which is a good movie. But like she a great director, and this is kind of her like first. Oh, she did a. No, this is like one of her big movies in a while, and they didn't even promote that well.
It's a shame. It's a real shame.
Yeah.
Then that is just a product of the world we live in right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, for example, with Disney, it's that. Why promote stars and their smaller movies when they have
Star Wars
and I love the Disney company, but I'm just saying it's, and that's not just Disney, that's every studio out there, is that that why I said earlier, and this is true, in the old days, in the 30s and 40s and 50s, Hollywood focused on one thing, and that was stars.
Yep.
That's why Hollywood owned the contracts to the stars. Nowadays, what does Hollywood studios own? They own IP. They own the thing. They own Marvel. They own Star Wars. They own that. And the actors are just pieces they put in there to make it work. But
bruh,
used
it's
to,
all about the merchandising, dude.
Yeah, but
it's
used to
merchandising.
It was about the stars. The focus of the industry has changed to IP and not on stars. But there's
right.
still some that are out there that will put butts in the seats and will sell tickets. And hopefully, and I think that's what, I think when we get all this franchise burnout, hopefully audiences will want more of star-driven movies. That's my hope.
That's also my hope.
Because there's some great actors out there that need to be showcased as movie stars. But yeah, so to end this, let's just talk with our recommendations. So, Will, I'll let you go first with your recommendation.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm not sure if I've mentioned this before, but I am a huge fan of Norm Macdonald. His podcast is hilarious, Norm Macdonald Live. They just came back, actually, and finally relaunched after 2 years of being away. But I'm a huge fan of Norm, and I actually pre-ordered and bought his new memoir based on a true story. Actually read it all that first day I got it. I loved it. It was a great page-turner. It's hilarious. So if you enjoy Norm Macdonald, or if you enjoy sort of that very dark strain of humor that he does, and sort of non-sequiturs, and both he's making fun of himself and his life, but also getting some really interesting stories about SNL and Hollywood and sort of how he sort of got started. It's really good. It's one of the more fun memoirs I've read in a long time.
Okay. Hunter, yours?
Number one thing off the top of my head, Atlanta on FX. Great show. Great cast, as a matter of fact. Pretty much everyone on that show is amazing.
Yeah.
The writing in particular is what I think sticks out on that show, of just being near perfect. They find a way to talk about some pretty large, heavy issues, but hide it, conceal it very well in their comedy. It's hard to do. It's really mm-hmm. hard to do. A lot of people compare it to Master of None, which I, at first glance, I did. And then, like, when I kind of took a step back and watched it again a couple times, this show's kind of its own thing, man. The show is, it's really special. You don't get a lot of shows like this on TV, especially if it's someone like Donald Glover. I mean, like, the fact that they, you know, were able to make this show is pretty spectacular stuff. Keith Stanfield from Selma and Short Term 12, one of the unsung heroes of the show. His writing is great, but he really performs amazingly. And he's kind of the heart and soul of the show. He steals every scene he's in, even though the show is largely not about him at all. But yeah, man, it's really, really good. I can't wait to see where it goes in season one. They just got picked up for season two. Who knows? Maybe I'll get a job on that show one day. But speaking of which, I feel obligated to tell people to watch Walking Dead, October 23rd, season 7 premiere. Yeah, man, it's going to be a good season. You guys should watch it. And that's all I can say.
I got to catch up with it. No, yeah. So with me, I have to strongly second Atlanta. It is a great, I haven't caught up with it yet, but the first two episodes I've seen are great. And I love Donald Glover, and I hope to see this show flourish, because it's a great script, great characters. It's entertaining. It's something that you're like, it's like one of those things when you're watching it, I wish I could have made this, I feel like. Because I think it's a great show, and I'm happy to see something like this being showcased on television and with the talents that are around it. And it kind of has the same, it's the same head people. Like, Donald Glover wrote the first episode, and I think his brother wrote the second, or the next two, and then Donald wrote the fourth one. And then Hiro Murray is a Tokyo filmmaker. He shot the first five episodes, and it's like alternating between him and Donald Glover. So it's a great.
Dude, it's good. I love it. You feel. Like, you feel, after you watch an episode of that, you understand what it's like living in Atlanta. Like, that is Atlanta through and through. The him at Zesto's trying to get, a Happy Meal?
Yeah.
And the woman just, like, refusing him. That happens all the time. Them going to J.R. Crickets and getting the wings, and the guy's, like, being real shady when he's giving the wings. Dude, if you've ever been to J.R. Crickets, you will know that is the honest truth. Honest to God, that is how it feels to be in
so
J.R. Crickets.
So, describe the show to me then, as someone who's not seen it, not heard anything about it. Would you call it like a Atlanta version of Seinfeld? You know, because this sounds very like regional specific, you know?
No.
Because Seinfeld was very sort of regional specific to New York, that people like, no one's going to get it unless you're from New York, and, you know, and...
There's a lot of little references they make here and there, like... just about places or places that they're physically at when they're shooting, like location-wise, that you pick up on more if you actually have spent much time in Atlanta. You understand the way the city's laid out and the way it works and a lot of the local businesses. Mm-hmm. But and he's from Stone Mountain. His brother, Donald Glover, and his brother are both from Stone Mountain, Georgia, which is basically Atlanta.
Yeah.
But even without knowing a lot of that stuff, like still, basically, I'll pitch it to you. Brandon, feel free to help me. So Donald Glover plays the lead, who's kind of not really the lead but still the lead, and he is this like down on his luck, hates his job guy who has a kid with his ex-girlfriend who he still lives with, but only because he is basically homeless and she just provides a roof over his head. And he sees an opportunity. His cousin, who he's, I guess, a little estranged from, hasn't really seen. His cousin is a rapper who has a hit on the radio. And Donald Glover's like, oh, man, I need to get back in with my cousin because maybe he'll make some money and I'll be able to, like, bank off that and have some money because I'm poor and I hate, like, my job. Mm-hmm. So he starts hanging out with his cousin more. His cousin gains some, like, notoriety from something that goes down.
Yeah.
And slowly starts getting more and more and more popular. And Donald Glover is trying to basically, like...
be his manager, is what he's doing.
Be his manager and, like, figure himself into the equation a little bit.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Man, it's a really good story about, like, trying to come out of...
But it's comedic, right? It's comedy.
It's very comedy
drama. It's a comedy drama.
It's a drama. Dramedy. But it is, it's very well done, dramedy. It is... Mm-hmm. It is some of the best one-liner... jokes you've heard in a long time, dude. Mm-hmm. I was dying when they said John Boyega. They're saying John Boyega's gonna be the next Magic Johnson. I was like, who wrote this line? Dude, it is so funny. It's so funny. There's one scene, it's like a lot of situational comedy too. Like there's a scene, not to ruin anything, there's a scene where a drug deal goes down and he's like, man, we're gonna be official. I'm gonna handcuff this suitcase to my hand. And so they get into this drug deal and like shit's going down basically. And he's like, oh man, where's the keys? And they left the keys on the countertop back of their house. And so this dude's like supposed to give these guys all this money in the briefcase or they're going to kill him basically. And he can't get the briefcase off his arm because the key is back home. And he's just like, what are we going to do? He's like, bro, the keys are on the countertop back of the house. I thought you grabbed me. He's like, no, I thought you got them. And there, it's just, there's a scene where there's guys like in a jail. I don't want to give it away, but man, the scene, I think the scene in the jail where he's stuck between the two people.
Oh God, it's great.
That is one of the best comedy scenes I've seen in the last 10 years. He's like, I can move if you want me to. Nah, bro. You sit down. You trying to cause a problem, bro? Like, it is so funny. And man, there's stuff in that show that only really happens, like that has happened to me personally. In Atlanta, just as a city that it cracks me up, dude. Every time I watch it, I'm like, "Yep, he understands. He knows. He knows what it's like." It's pretty special, dude. You should give it a chance. I watched all. You can download the FX Now app, and that's how I watched all of them. That's how I stay caught up.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a great show. So, Will, check it out. Our listeners, check it out. And yeah, so make sure that's it for this episode. Make sure you follow us on on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a review. That's how we hear about you. And then also make sure you like and follow us on Medium. Hunter, you want to talk about Medium for a quick second?
I've been out of the Medium game for a while, boys, but I don't know. I've been real busy with work for various reasons. But
and I promise to come back Medium? In and start writing again.
Yeah, Will will be back on Medium soon. Anna is finally like unburdened from life and will be able to write some more stuff for us on Medium and hopefully come back on the show soon.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of really good – we have a lot of great writers that we don't showcase enough that I wish we could bring on the show more. And hopefully we would be able to soon. That's my hope anyways. There's a lot of like really good voices from people and a lot of really good just – inputs and opinions from people that don't get enough attention, and I'm really happy that we're able to showcase some of that stuff on Media. We've grown a lot. We've went from being how many? We started out with what, like 28?
Not many, yeah.
28 followers on Medium. What, we just broke 2,500?
I think. Let me see. I know we're at around 2,000. I know 2,000. I know.
Okay. Yeah. So needless to say, in the probably 6 months that we've been doing it.
I'd say about 10.
It's about 10 months?
Yeah, it's about 10.
Well, I still like those numbers 10 months later.
No, it's we've been doing fairly well, and we have a lot of great followers and a lot of great writers. And also, too, if you want to be a writer, feel free to send us your stuff. We'll read over it, and we'll publish it. Because we're close to 3,000. My mistake. And for us, like, we're a very small group of people. Like, we just do this for fun. And so getting to have you guys follow us on Medium or listen to the podcast is a very big thing for us. And so we want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear your voice. And so just send us anything you have through iTunes or Medium. We want to hear from you guys. We hope you guys listen to more episodes soon. Bye.